The Hard Shoulder.
With the all-new MG HS plug-in hybrid. Petrol freedom plus up to 120 kilometres electric range. MG. Recharge your soul.
Now, from July this year, Ireland is going to host the EU presidency. It's reported that this will cost the state over 293 million euros. So what exactly is the return on the investment? Here to discuss the relevance of the EU presidency, the logistics of hosting it in Ireland and the massive security operation around it is Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews, and Conor Gallagher, who's crime and security correspondent with the Irish Times. You're very welcome to the programme. Shona, to come to you first. So the landscape since the last time we held the presidency in 2013 has completely changed this time round, with the real dismantling of transatlantic relationships and that transatlantic alliance. How is that going to inform Ireland's presidency?
Well, it's going to make things it's going to be a very difficult couple of years ahead with Trump as the president of the United States, no matter who is sort of at the helm of the EU and so on. In 2013, we were still wrangling with our bailout, and we were still trying to get a reduction on the interest rate at that stage. So we were like far from favourites, let's say, in Brussels at that time.
We were still trying to be best boy in class again.
We were, and at
curry some favour.
And actually, in 2013, I remember, because I was covering the presidency then, was the time when Viktor Orban really started his anti-democratic changes, constitutional changes in Hungary, and there was complete obviously outrage at the time. But the EU did nothing, and look where we are now. We've seen that spread across Europe. But for the next 6 months, it's going to be extremely difficult. Obviously, security and defence will be number one on the agenda for the European Union, given the fact that the European transatlantic, EU-US transatlantic alliance is falling apart, and the Europe can realise now it can no longer rely on the United States. And that will form very much part of the other negotiation, which will be key for Ireland, which will be the 7-year EU budget. Because as we know, common agricultural policy is normally the key driver or something that is the sort of the, one of the largest parts of the agriculture of the EU budget. But defence and security will be number one. And Ireland will have to try to negotiate amongst the member states, but also it has its own priorities around that. And I know the Irish government would like to ensure the cap is maintained. There's other issues on the agenda, such as there will be the first time ever a housing summit in about 3 or 4 months' time for the whole of the European Union. And then Ireland will continue on from that path, whatever decisions are made on that. So again, very relevant for Ireland as well. But security, defence and Ukraine will be really the key priorities. And the Irish government has said that at the end of the presidency, they'd at least like to have maybe Moldova as joined the European Union, but have made huge progress on Ukraine joining the EU, which would be no mean feat.
So if the slogan back in 2013, I think, was stability, jobs and growth.
Yeah.
Imagine those were the issues back then.
What will the European
slogan
Union
be this time round?
Yeah. I mean, not even save the rules-based system, which has been the sort of slogan generally for the past few years since the Russian full-scale invasion of Ukraine, but actually just save the EU, because we've seen in the US security doctrine that Donald Trump has said the EU is an enemy and a threat to the United States. And then obviously we've got this renewed talk about Donald Trump taking over Greenland, which is a sort of a protectorate of Denmark. And
something we would have sort of laughed off, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we laughed it off in 2017 or 2018 when he said it then, you know, and then it's kind of last year he'd said it. But now they're really, what we saw with Maduro in Venezuela, you can see that they're very serious, and Denmark is a NATO member. And, the US talks about Denmark as not being a good ally of the United States. The United States already has a military compound in Greenland. The amount of, you can have as much access to Greenland as it wants, because they do share the idea that the Arctic needs security. And I was in Greenland last year. There's not an issue. This is really about imperialism. And then from a Danish perspective, people wouldn't probably be aware, but Denmark lost more soldiers per capita in America's war in Afghanistan than America did. I mean, so the idea that Denmark or Europe is somehow not an ally of the United States, it doesn't hold up to any scrutiny, but it's actually just extremely worrying language. And so this will be very difficult and very interesting for Ireland, because we always like to sort of keep quiet when it comes to the United States and criticising the US, because we have such a strong relationship and obviously historically and so on. But Ireland will need to be something of a go-between the US and the European Union. And it'll be interesting what position Ireland takes, because obviously its interests are within the EU. I mean, let's face it.
Well, we say that, and yes, so much of our interests are to look,
for
you
sure.
know, as they say, to look towards the United States. To bring in Connor here, we talk about security and defence as being one of the, probably the slogans of this particular period of time in the EU. But on a very practical level, we are going to be hosting a number of high-level delegates in Ireland across that period of time. So give me a sense of the scale of security that will be required.
Well, it's an absolutely mammoth task. It will be a mammoth task in normal times, and as Shona outlined there, we are certainly not in normal times. This is occurring at a time when Russia is stepping up hybrid attacks. You know, we saw a potential example of that with the drone incident around the time of Zelensky's visit late last year. The presence of shadow fleet vessels in waters off Europe, suspected cases of sabotage around Europe. So there are many, many threats Ireland will have to deal with. And these are really tricky threats to deal with because they're hard to detect. They're even harder to attribute once you do detect them, and they're hard to guard against. And countries with far bigger defence budgets and security budgets have struggled to do this. Look at Denmark, which had to shut down several air bases and airports due to the activity of drones during its hosting of the EU presidency. So Ireland faces an uphill battle in this regard. The chief agency responsible will be on Garda Síochána. The Commissioner, Justin Kelly, has said this will be the biggest policing operation ever undertaken by the force in terms of just overtime alone. That is going to account for a large portion of that 200 million plus cost for the total cost of the presidency. And then you will have other agencies, primarily the defence forces, playing a very, very large role, including guarding airspace and the waters around Ireland.
You have written in the past in the Irish Times about the need for external assistance and the potential to ask for French warships to come and help us here in Ireland. What other asks do you expect to hear, and how are we progressing, I suppose, in terms of trying to deal with our own shortfalls and our own gaps here in Ireland in terms of protecting these individuals?
So, these discussions are ongoing about what kind of help the government can request from other countries without breaching the Constitution and the Ireland's policy of military neutrality and not being a member of a military alliance. So there is consideration to getting a French or other EU warship to provide an air defence role where it might sit in Dublin Bay, and we would be able to deal with any airborne threats. Also looking into acquiring anti-drone technology. Now, that would be anti-drone technology operated by other people, but also anti-drone technology operated by Irish forces. So the government has fast-tracked the acquisition of anti-drone technology to guard Casement Aerodrome, which is the Air Corps base in West Dublin there. That's going to be where, during the big summers, where you're going to have 40-plus EU leaders and other leaders, such as Zelensky, I presume, flying in. That's going to be the big security operation for the state. So this anti-drone technology will be able to secure that airport from drone incursions. I understand it will be an electronic solution, so it'll block or jam drones rather than shoot them down. But there are plans down the line to acquire more anti-drone technology, but that won't be in place for the presidency. Gardaí are going to be issued with their own personal specialist units of the Garda will be issued with shorter range anti-drone weapons, which are capable of jamming drones as well. And the Garda anti-terrorism unit, the emergency response unit, is receiving a lot of new equipment. Like, they've got a new armoured van or armoured car type of thing to deal with terrorist situations. So there is a lot of money being spent already, and that's before we get to the overtime bill.
European Council President António Costa visited Dublin recently to, I think, show some confidence in Ireland's preparedness, Shona. But as Conor outlined there, look, there's a real uphill battle in a short period of time. Does the EU, do you think, have confidence in Ireland's ability to carry out the security operation required?
Yeah, I mean, Cyprus has it this year and started now, actually, and they are not a member of NATO. And they're also in sort of troubled waters sometimes with Turkish when you have this sort of aggressive oil exploration in the Eastern Mediterranean. So it's not that Ireland is some sort of failure, let's say, but it is vulnerable because it has lacked any sort of expenditure on defence for decades. It's been sort of allowed itself to become vulnerable because geographically it is not concerned necessarily or hasn't been concerned about the rise of Russia. You know, it also has, so it's sort of crept upon Ireland now that we've got these activities in the Irish Sea around Shadow Fleet and the attempted cutting of the communication cables and so on. So therefore, we're become a bit of a, we're a weak link for the rest of Europe when other countries are spending all this money on defence. But Ireland is getting it together. And as we talked about there, you know, Conor was talking about anti-drone technology, which would jam drones because the shooting down of drones is extremely dangerous because often it's happening at an airport or areas where there's lots of civilian activity, which can be really, really dangerous. You could kill somebody depending on the size of the drone. So these are concerns. These are ongoing discussions that are happening all the time, whether to shoot down a Russian fighter jet that comes into, let's say, Polish territory. So Ireland has been not immune, but removed from all of that discussion. And now it's sort of going to be at the forefront because, like we heard there from Zelensky, is very likely to be in Ireland during the presidency because we have the European political community, which is 45 countries. So there's not just the 27 EU member states, but you've got the British, you've got Erdogan from Turkey, you've Vucic from Serbia. The European continent will come. And then what if there's discussions around the Ukrainian membership of the EU? So all of this, It is going to be mammoth. It's the largest thing we've ever would have hosted. And it's at a time of incredible geopolitical instability. So, I think, you know, maybe there's a few concerns about Ireland, but it doesn't mean that other countries would do a hugely massive better job. Because let's say if it was Lithuania, Estonia, which spent 6% on defence, they're also extremely vulnerable because they're constantly suffering these attacks. Lithuania had to close down its airspace several times in the last few weeks because of these balloons that are coming in from Belarus. So everybody's under threat. Ireland is definitely, you know, people are concerned or they're annoyed that Ireland hasn't taken security seriously, but we've also had that ability to be removed. But I don't think it's like, oh, Jesus, should we take the presidency of Ireland? No, no, no. That's not about it at all. Like I said, Cyprus is not in NATO. It has the presidency at the moment.
Okay, I just want to ask you one question because we've been covering at length here in the programme, and I'm sure we will over the next couple of years, what we saw at the weekend with that abduction of Maduro, who's now facing those charges in that New York court, and questions being asked, I suppose, about what happens next and what this means for somewhere like Greenland. As I said, we, you know, threw our eyes up to heaven maybe 6 months ago, even at this, not so much anymore. What is the sense in Europe, Seán, and what do you make of the scenes that we've seen today?
Well, it's real jitters about how to condemn this, because obviously they've been rightly condemning Putin's attempt to extricate Zelensky in a similar way in 2022. That was the plan when the whole of the Russians came in with that full-scale invasion. They tried to come from Belarus straight into Kyiv to take over the capital, but they failed because the Ukrainian defences were better. So they've been condemning Russia for that, and there's a warrant for him at the International Criminal Court, but they're not condemning it now when it comes to Trump and Maduro. They're sort of saying, oh, let's see what the legal basis is. When, you know, you're a barrister, a trained barrister. I studied international law, but neither of us have practiced it, but you know that there's very basic UN charter and basics of international law. You know, 101 is that you can't just go in and remove a head of state, or you can.
And we saw the UN Security Council say that really unequivocally today.
Yeah, and also the other reason is that, is he actually a drugs smuggler into the United States? I mean, he is all the things. He's a dictator who overthrew the election. Donald Trump tried to do that on January 6th. So anyway, the point is that people are just nervous because what is at stake is Ukraine. And Ursula von der Leyen is willing to let Donald Trump basically do anything to ensure that the Americans don't stop engaging in the process of ending the war in Ukraine.
Already, it's real politics, even though it's uncomfortable for people.
The only problem is, though, is that the Americans don't give anything to Ukraine militarily now. The Europeans buy it all from them. So the Americans aren't giving anything other than intelligence. That's the other thing. So if you were to start condemning Trump right now, then they might go, right, well, we won't give the Ukrainians intelligence. We won't sell you any more weapons to the Pearl Program. And the security guarantees that we agreed a few weeks ago that we would give in the event of a post-conflict society in Ukraine, they're off the table too. And Ukraine is more important than Venezuela to Europe because it is the European continent. And if Russia wins in Ukraine, then obviously what's next? What if Putin decides to test NATO with Estonia, Latvia? They'll say, well, Article 5, you have to protect us. And then Congress or Trump says, why am I going to send in the US military for Estonia, which is the size of a small, you know, tiny town in Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
It's an uncomfortable
yeah,
truth,
it is. Exactly.
Isn't it, that we all have to probably face up to. Shauna Murray and Conor Gallagher, thank you for joining me. And nice to see you in studio, Shauna.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. Okay, coming up.